minister to us. We thank you, Keith, for your commitment, and we really appreciate it when you minister to us here. Let me sit there. Pray for you. Lord Jesus, we pray for Keith. We thank you for him, Lord, and we ask you to bless him today. We ask you to put the words in his mouth that you would have him share with us, Lord. We ask you to prepare our hearts to receive the word. And may this be a time for Keith to really enjoy his ministry, Lord. Amen.
Good morning, Crossways. It's good to be with you guys this morning. As a family, we've had a bit of a roller coaster ride this last 9 or 10 days. Our elders left home, and those that have walked this road before know what it's all about. But we've got two more that's got to go down that route. But at the same time, when we dropped Caleb off, we went to Johannesburg. He flew to Holland, and this coming week he's going to France. While we're at the airport, our house was broken into as well. So we had the frustrations of that as well. We had to cut the weekend short last week to go home in it. But you know what? We've just seen God's hand and everything, and now he's prepared the way for our son. Because I think as any parents worry, your 18-year-old child, yeah, he's getting on a plane overseas, doing things for himself, and just see the hand of God. And, I mean, when I was that age, I'd never even thought of doing that kind of thing. Years as 18-year-old, knowing that, hey, this is what I want to do. Yeah, so, and I think there's a lesson in all of it, for all of us in that. Hey, when we hear from God, when we know what you want to do, let nothing hold us back. Let's do it, yeah. So, your name? Mark. Sergeant Major, Mark. Have you ever seen a series called Band of Brothers? Watch it. I encourage every man to watch, even females to watch it. It's a brilliant series, and for me it's just on leadership. And why I call you Sergeant Major, story of two guys in it. One is a captain, is very dominant, is authoritative, but he doesn't have the respect of his men. He tries and please his bosses, and that is not leadership. God does not call us, when we're in leadership, to lord it over those that is trusted in our care. And I see you as a sergeant major that is with the troops. The sergeant major in this series is with his troops. He's got the respect of his troops, and they will die for him because he will lay down his life for them. So I see you men drawing close to you and doing great things for the kingdom. But I see you as a sergeant major, somebody that will take lead and lead a lot of men into the warfare that we are fighting in this kingdom. Yeah. I salute you. This lady here. Your name? Lisa. I feel God wants you to do two things this morning. The one is, just take a deep breath. Do it. You've got to do it. What he's telling you is, breathe in his grace. Breathe in his love. He loves you just as you are. And he's well pleased with you. And the second thing that he wants you to do is, open your hand. Do it. Receive the blessings that he has for you. One cannot receive something if the hand is closed. Open your hand. You are worthy to receive his blessings that he has for you. And the picture that came to mind is the Sound of Music. I don't know if the leading lady is Julie Andrews. I don't know. But you always see the scene where she's running across a field and dancing and singing at the top of her voice. And that is the place that God wants you to bring, where there's absolute freedom, complete trust in him, where you're actually running around glorifying him, where all your troubles and cares are away. There are a way, but you've got to walk into that freedom that God has for you. That's why I'm saying this morning, breathe in my grace, open my hands so that I can bless you. The title of my message this morning that I want to share with you is The Lord of Choice. And I'm just amazed at God after just how he has actually orchestrated everything this morning, because the theme has actually been cleared in my message and all that we've done this morning. So if you can take out your Bibles and open up at John 18, I'm going to read a portion of Scripture, but I think it's very important to read it so that we can get the context of what I want to speak about. So John 18, and I'm going to start reading from verse 28. Jesus before Pilate. Then the Jewish leaders took Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor. By now it was early morning, and to avoid ceremonial uncleanliness, they did not enter the palace because they wanted to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate came out to them and asked, "What charges are you bringing against this man?" "If he were not a criminal," they replied, "we would not have handed him over to you." It is very important to note here that they are actually lying. I mean, we all know where the criminal is. So exactly, they are lying here to Pilate. This man is a criminal. If he wasn't a criminal, we wouldn't have brought him before you. Pilate said, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." "But we have no right to execute anyone," they objected. They wanted Jesus dead. They wouldn't settle. The Jewish law said somebody had to be stoned if he committed a crime that was worthy of death. But they wanted this man executed. They wanted him to die in a horrible way. And they were not willing to get their own hands dirty. This took place to fulfill what Jesus had said about the kind of death he was going to die. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked, "or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it that you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then?" said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." "What is truth?" retorted Pilate. With this he went out again to the Jews gathered there and said, "I find no basis for charge against him. But it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews?" They shouted back, "No, not him. Give us Barabbas." Now Barabbas had taken part in an uprising. Then Pilate took Jesus and they had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they slapped him in the face. Once more Pilate came out and said to the Jews gathered there, "Look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no basis for a charge against him." When Jesus came out wearing a crown of thorns and a purple robe, Pilate said, "Here is the man." As soon as the chief priests and the officials saw him, they shouted, "Crucify! Crucify!" But Pilate answered, "You take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis of charge against him." The Jewish leaders insisted, "We have a law, and according to the law, he must die, because he claimed to be the Son of God." When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid, and he went back inside the palace. "Where do you come from?" he asked Jesus. But Jesus gave him no answer. "Do you refuse to speak to me?" Pilate said. "Don't you realize that I have power either to free you or to crucify you?" Jesus answered, "You have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free, but the Jewish leaders kept shouting, "If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar." When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judge's seat at a place known as the stone pavement. It was a day of preparation for the Passover. It was about noon. "Here is your king," Pilate said to the Jews. But they shouted, "Take him! Take him away! Crucify him!" "Shall I crucify your king?" Pilate asked. "We have no king but Caesar," the chief priest answered. Finally, Pilate handed him over to be crucified. This is a remarkable story, and I can just imagine myself just from standing outside the crowd and watching this and say, what on earth is happening right here? We all live in a country where riots take place, where crowds do things that we are we're in shock of. And I think this is one of those situations where we were watching, what on earth is happening? I haven't heard that this man did something that justifies what they are wanting to do to him. Where's the justice in all of this? Why is this happening? I mean, we look at the news, we see what's happening, and we ask the same questions. The key verse for me is in verse 19, chapter 19, from verse 8. When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid, and he went back inside the palace. Where do you come from? He asked Jesus. But Jesus gave him no answer. Do you refuse to speak to me? Pilate said. Don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you? And this is key. But Jesus answered, you have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Jesus knew exactly what was happening here. All this has been prophesied. He wasn't taken off guard here. God wasn't taken off guard here. This process had to happen for you and me to walk into freedom that we walk today. It was all the choice of God. We clearly see that Jesus submitted himself to your process. We know the story that goes before when he was arrested. When he prayed in the garden, he said, Lord, not my will be done, but your will be done. It was his choice. By choice, he went through all of this. But to truly understand this, what's happening here, we have to go back to chapter 1, verse 9 to 14. Says this, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or husband's will, but born of God. The world became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. It was all God's choice and Jesus' choice to go down this path, to face the humiliation that he was facing, to face ultimately the death that he was facing. It was, these people thought they were in control of what was happening. They even twisted the hand of, when Pilate tried to set him free, they twisted his hand. They said, do you not know that you are actually against Caesar if you recognize this man as king? We've only got one king, but Caesar. But ultimately, it was all God's choice for Jesus to go through this. Now, life is all about choices. We cannot avoid choices. We wake up in the morning, we choose what clothing we want to wear. What food do you want to eat? We choose the schools our children we go to. We choose the careers that we actually are in. We choose our life spouses. So choices are something that we are faced through every day. But it goes beyond that. We sometimes make choices that actually affect our life in a negative way as well. So what exactly is a choice? It's the act of choosing between two or more possibilities. It's like choosing between good and evil. We all make choices. Like I say, sometimes choices, they've got negative impact on our lives. In this text, the people clearly chose to crucify Jesus. They chose to reject him. No matter the miracles that he's done, the healings that they have done, they chose to crucify him because he was actually changing the status quo. They were not willing to change for that to happen. It was all about religion. There was no relationship with God. But like I said earlier, God had his hand in all of us. God chose for all of us to happen, just like he chose us. Deuteronomy 14 verse 2 says this, for you are a people holy to the Lord your God. Out of all the peoples on the face of the earth, the Lord has chosen you to be his treasured possession. Deuteronomy 7 verse 7 to 8 says, the Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples. For you were the fewest of all peoples, but it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your ancestors that he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh the king. John 10, Jesus said, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for my sheep. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father. Scripture is clear. what was happening here, no matter how brutal it was, no matter how shocking it was the choice of God for this to happen. You and I, maybe if we're brave enough, when we see this happening, would have tried to step and said, no, hang on, you know what? This is wrong. What you are doing is wrong. This man is innocent. I've seen the miracles that he has done. But all the voices were silent. Because this had to happen. We see something of a crowd mentality happening here as well. A lot of times when this kind of thing happens, and even today, normal people do things that they never thought they would be able to do. Commit horrendous crimes because they get up at what they call a mob mentality. We've seen riots all over the world when it happens. And this is what people were about to riot here if Pilate wasn't going to let Jesus be crucified. But all the voices were quiet. So why did God choose for this to happen? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Without the crucifixion, there is no life. John 14:6, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus had to walk through this path for us to get back into relationship with God. There was no other way for it to happen. Why Jesus had to die? For a person that is not a believer, people struggle with this. They cannot fathom this, why one man had to die, why the blood of one man had to be shed so that millions can be saved. It doesn't make sense. The intellect blocks it because they cannot receive us by faith. Jesus had to die because we serve a holy God. In a modern society, we have lost the concept of holiness. I think there is an aspect of it, but I don't think we fully comprehend what it means to be holy. We accept things around us when we see it. I sometimes read the comments on Facebook, and I was watching this clip this week about an officer clearly taking a bribe in South Africa from a person. And people were crucifying this guy because he actually put a clip on and said, oh, wow, you're going to cost this guy his job. Think about his wife and his children. Come on, this guy was committing a crime. He is there to enforce the law, and he accepted a bribe, and there are people actually supporting him. A person that is an authority should actually walk a holy life because people look up to him. People should respect him. That is a form of holiness as well. We have lost the concept of holiness. Isaiah 5:16, but the Lord Almighty is exalted by his justice. The holiness of God is displayed by his righteousness. Jesus had to die because sin and holiness are incompatible. You cannot mix water and oil. That is God and sin. They cannot mix. God, because he is holy, cannot be in the presence of sin. He is a pure God. We all know that sin ended through Adam. Adam made a choice. God has given us all choices. Like I said, we all have choices. Adam chose to sin. And there were consequences to that. Because of a disobedience, we all have a sinful nature. Romans 5:12, when Adam sinned, sin entered into the entire human race. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So what exactly, how does sin work? I need my beautiful assistant. I want to do a little skit here this morning. She is going to chain me up. Yeah. Apple, come help. You'll be our security guard this morning and make sure that I'm not cheating in any way. This is what sin does to us. And a lot of us, even as children of God, we walk like this. We're in bondage. Now, I can't do much. if I'm in bondage. Imagine me trying to dress myself, having these chains on. But more so, I am focused on this, because I'm focused on this the whole time, because I know it restricts my movement. Oh, can you see? Can I get my hands out of here?
No. You're trying to key.
No. Okay. This is what puts us in bondage. It restricts our movement. But this is why Jesus had to die. So come, the blood of Jesus doesn't just cover our sins. It sets us free completely. I must just say, when I do this, I make it clear, it's not magic. We don't practice magic, it's just an illusion that I did. Sin and holiness cannot mix. So in our state of sin, we are in bondage. God cannot look upon us, so Jesus had to die. And the reason he had to die is that we can be set free from our sins. Sin is dealt with at the cross. It is taken away. God sees us as pure and clean and holy. And therefore we can enter his holiness. Harvey mentioned this morning, the minute Jesus died, that veil was torn. No longer did a priest have to go through into the Holy of Holiness. We could approach God in person without going through a priest. We can enter his presence because Jesus died for us. Our sin separates us from God's holiness. Sin's punishment is eternal death. God's holiness demands justice. A price has to be paid. And our death is not good enough to compensate and to pay that price. That is why God's in Jesus. That's why he made a choice for Jesus to go down this path. He knew that because Jesus was pure. He was without spot. He was without blemish. He was without sin. And yet these people called him a criminal. The lowest form of society. Yet he was not that. He chose to walk down that path. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 5:21, so just as sin ruled over all people and brought him to death, now God's wonderful kindness rules instead, giving us right standing with God and resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What a wonderful text. 1 Peter 1 verse 18 to 19 says this, for you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And the ransom he paid was not mere gold or silver. He paid for you with the precious lifeblood of Jesus Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. Hebrews 2 verse 14 to 17 says, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death, he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery, but their fear of death. What I did this morning, we were all held in slavery. Our sins held us in bondage. But because of Jesus, we could all be set free. Only through Jesus Christ can our sins be forgiven. And through that, restore the relationship we can have with God. 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30, it is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is righteousness and holiness and redemption. I'm always amazed how man can make his choices and decisions and think it is him that actually made it. Most of us here are children of God. We've accepted the blood of Christ on our lives. We thought that we made that decision. God made that choice for us. We were chosen before we were even born. But because we got that choice as well, we can reject it. Many people are walking out the city today, Hilton today, that haven't made that choice again yet. They haven't accepted Christ. And that's where we come in. We've got a choice as well. Are we going to allow this blood not to be shed for other people? Are we happy with the fact that we are saved? So now you know what? I made it. Now I can relax. No. Even more so. because that we've been set free, even more so, we have a responsibility. No matter the age, whether you are 5 or 95, we've got a part to play. If you are sitting here this morning and you haven't accepted Christ into your life, Scripture says this, "This day I'll call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, that you and your children may live." It is very simple. All you have to come is say, "Jesus, I accept you into my life. I repent of my sins. I accept you as my Lord and Savior." Revelation 3:20 says this, "Here I am. I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." You have got to make that decision. You have to open a heart, the door to your heart. God will never force it open. You have a choice to make. If you haven't made a decision yet, please come afterwards. Come talk to me. I would like to pray for you. As believers, 1 Peter 2 verse 19, and I think the room is very quiet, but it's going to go even more quiet after this. He says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people." Why? "That you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." God wants you to walk into that freedom so that you can lead others into that freedom. God wants you to be a sergeant major in His army so that you can lead others into the battle. There are people losing their lives every day, and we are part of that battle to take the gospel to them. We are part of that battle. We got a duty to warn them of the death that's coming, awaiting them, if they do not accept Jesus Christ into their lives. The church is in trouble. The church's voice is quiet today, people. We've got to wake up. There are people dying. We cannot come to Sunday after Sunday to church or go to a home group or one prayer meeting and think, "You, I've done my duty now." I'm saying this out of love this morning. Jesus made a choice to die for us, to face death, so that we can be set free. But He died for those out of the world as well. The church has got a duty. What did Jesus say? "Go and make disciples of all people, of all nations." We make disciples. There's a period that they should be in our churches. They should reach maturity. And then likewise, they should go and make disciples as well. They cannot come into a church and say, "You know what? I'm saved. Hallelujah. Praise God. It is done." No, the Scripture is very clear. We've got to proclaim the praises of Him who has set us free, who has brought us into the light. Are you willing to do that? Church, are you willing to do that? It's very easy. This talks about evangelism. Evangelism is not complicated. I had a friend of mine 2 weeks ago. He came to speak to me, and because we in our church we're trying to get evangelism going again. So he said, "How do we do it?" And I said, "You know what? I truly believe the days of evangelism, where there's a crowd of millions, where there's a big tent meeting in it. Yes, there's place and space for those kind of things, but it's been proven to be ineffective. A big majority of those people fall away. The emotions get swept up. Yes, Jesus, I accept you." 2 weeks later, they're back where they were. True evangelism, if you read the book of Acts, is one-on-one. Mostly. Speaking to your neighbors, speaking to your friends in school, speaking to your work colleagues. So anyway, he came to me and he spoke to me, and I shared this with him. I said, "This is how God wants evangelism. Imagine if every believer in the world today reaches one person a year. Next year, the believers will be double. They do the same. Exponential growth. It will blow your mind. But the church is, the voice is quiet." So I said, "Do you know how you do it?" And I've tested this. Because of my condition, it's difficult for me to go to people. So I still ask, "Lord, bring the people to me." And He has done so. I've got testimonies where I sit at World's View on a Saturday morning, going to have a quiet time, sit on a concrete bench, close my eyes, earphones on, praising God, open my eyes, and there's a person next to me. First time that happened to me, I was actually irritated. So can't you see I'm trying to be quite alone? And no, God brought that person to me. And I've prayed with people there. I mean, people from all walks of life. I mean, one time I shared this story with my wife. 5 o'clock in the morning, women actually offered to have sex with me there. First time she met me, she didn't even know. She said, "What are you doing here?" I said, "No, I'm here to praise God." And she said, "Oh, just my luck. The first guy I meet in the mountain, I want my sister and her boyfriend are having sex in the car. And I thought, maybe I can do something with this guy sitting there." So this guy's a believer. Person that is broken. Ended up praying for her. She was hurting. So anyway, I've got many stories like that to tell. But so I said to my friend, I said, "You know what? All you have to do," I said, "Lord, when you wake up every morning, Lord, put somebody on my path today that I can share your goodness with." As simple as that. God speaks all the time, church. But you know what? We get so caught up in our daily lives. We are so busy. When those opportunities come, we miss them because we're not listening. I said, the next thing you do, you keep your ears and your eyes open. So Lord, put somebody on my path today, and then I prepare myself to identify that opportunity when it comes along. That's how simple it is. You don't have to do anything more than that. He phones me the next day, "Keith, you will not guess what happened." I said, "What?" He said, I did exactly what you said. I was driving down the road, and I prayed in the morning. I said, "God, put somebody on my path today that I can share your goodness with." And as I drove, there were two guys walking along the road, and I felt the Holy Spirit said, "I need you to stop and talk to these guys." And I'm not the type of person that likes to go up to strangers. And I'm a very private person, and I've been disobedient before, and he's the same. So he saw he drove past, and I told him a story where I drove past a person before, and the Holy Spirit made me turn around to go and speak to a person. He did the same, and he had an awesome time. He led the one person to the Lord. He prayed for the other person. And you know what? He walked away there, and he felt, wow, this is the power of the gospel. Simple. We can all do it. Wake up tomorrow morning. God, put somebody on my path today that I can share the good news with. We're going to make a choice. And then open your ears and your eyes. God made the ultimate choice so that we can walk into this freedom. Church, go out there and lead others into the same freedom. Can I pray for us? Lord, we can never imagine the path that you had to walk. The humiliation you had to face, Lord. Being completely innocent of the crimes and the accusations that they actually spat out towards you, Lord. And yet, Lord, when you looked at each of those people, you loved them, Lord. So much so, Lord, that you lay down your life for them, Lord. And you made that choice, Lord. Nobody made it for you, Lord. You chose to lay down your life, Lord, so that we can walk into freedom, Lord. And Father, this morning, I pray for myself, Lord. And I want to make a commitment to you, Lord. So, Lord, because of the choices that you have made, Lord, I want to make a choice, Lord, to tell others about what you have done for me, Lord. I want to see other people walking in that same freedom, Lord, that I am walking at this moment, Lord. Lord, and I'm not walking in this freedom because I made the choice. I'm walking in this freedom because of your grace that you had upon me, Lord. Your word says it's not by choice that we are our saviors, but it's by your grace, Lord. So I pray your grace upon each person here this morning, Lord. I pray, Father God, that they would listen to your voice. They would listen to your Holy Spirit, Lord. You said you will never leave us, you will never forsake us, that you will guide us, Lord. So as they, even as they leave us doors today, Father God, put somebody on their paths, Lord, that they can share the goodness with, Lord. And Lord, I'm excited and I can't wait, Lord, for the testimonies that will come from this, Lord. You have given us a clear mandate, Lord. And I say, Lord, I want to be obedient to that mandate so that your name can be glorified and exalted in Jesus' name. Amen.